Now, you mentioned that you're a, quote, fan of capecitabine, and in fact, there are a lot of breast cancer clinical researchers who are fans of capecitabine. We know that from our patterns of care studies where we are surveying up to close to 50 researchers. And it was interesting because prior to ASCO 2005 with the bevacizumab paclitaxel data, we were saying that actually capecitabine was first-line therapy for a lot of clinical investigators in metastatic disease, a lot more than practicing oncologists. Now there's like a little bit more question in the field because bevacizumab's out there with the Bev data. How have you sorted that through?
That's a great question. When we looked at capecitabine with bevacizumab in previous trials, we did a trial comparing capecitabine-bevacizumab with capecitabine alone. But virtually all those patients, it was second line or further therapy. And it was interesting, the response rates was a little bit better. We didn't see what was the really impressive changes in time to progression and perhaps a survival advantage in the long run that we've seen in the paclitaxel bevacizumab trial. But it was second line therapy, so there was a hint of activity there, even second line. The bevacizumab paclitaxel is really impressive data with improvements in response rate, doubling of time to progression for about 11 months, which is not longer than every trial that's been published, but in randomized trials with large numbers, that's among the best time to progression you see. And with concerns of toxicity, hypertension, and other things with bevacizumab, but really manageable compared to what you see with a lot of the other chemotherapy agents. So I think, to me, that's made our decisions harder. You know, before the bevacizumab trial, I would use capecitabine first line for most patients. The truth is, whether you're 25 with metastatic breast cancer or 85, it's palliative therapy. And taking someone who's generally been through adjuvant therapy and now who does not have curable disease and getting them used to the fact that they have a serious problem that's not going to go away, but treating them appropriately with a drug that doesn't cause hair loss, that usually doesn't cause myelosuppression, and that can maintain a pretty good quality of life when you've just been hit with the terrible news that you have an incurable metastatic breast cancer, to me seems like a very good way to take good care of patients. The bevacizumab data is very intriguing. I still think for many patients, there's a potential role for capecitabine up front. I'd love to see the capecitabine trial redone up front with bevacizumab.
Well, we are going to see that.
And I know it's in the works because I feel, you know, you do second line. Virtually all trials of second line chemotherapy, half the responses of first line. So I think it's intriguing. And I think in many people, I still might try the capecitabine, because it's an oral regimen. It's going to be less toxic in general than paclitaxel, which is given with the bevacizumab. And so I think you need to sort it out with patients. It'd be nice to know the effectiveness of paclitaxel and bevacizumab second line in people who have had capecitabine. But I think the probability of seeing a big trial like that is probably small.
And of course, the issues of cost and reimbursement always make this whole discussion kind of tricky. But putting that aside and focusing on clinical science, would there be situations where you would want to give capecitabine and bevacizumab together?
Well, I think outside of a trial first line, I probably wouldn't do it. I think if the patient was symptomatic enough or had a very aggressive rate of change or a metastatic disease, very short free interval, multiple organ involvement, I think these days you rarely see visceral crisis where one doubling will be a patient who is not going to survive her cancer. Usually today with our frequency of visits and monitoring of patients, I think it's unusual for someone to show up who's critically ill with mets. It happens a few times a year. So I would say for someone with a very slow tempo of disease and things, I'd still consider doing capecitabine singly. I think for many of the patients where it's a little bit more aggressive, I think following on the paclitaxel bevacizumab may turn out to be a better strategy up front.
What about paclitaxel, capecitabine, and bevacizumab?
Yeah. It's intriguing, but I think the paclitaxel and capecitabine is going to be more toxic than capecitabine alone. So perhaps now if you had a patient, multi-organ involvement, major symptoms, that would be certainly something worthy of study in a trial and worthy of consideration. I don't know if I would feel compelled to do that off a study.